It was a parent's worst nightmare, the kind of thing that kept one awake at night, worrying. And then it happened, on the day before Halloween, on the day Daisy had gone to school as the Disney fairy, Periwinkle, the Frost Fairy. Daisy had been so happy, so excited to wear her pretty sparkly tulle skirt and satin and sequin fairy wings. He could see her as he'd left her in her classroom, beaming, blowing him kisses, thrilled that there would be a Halloween class party and that the pre-K class got to parade through the whole school, visiting all the classes, even the big kid classes in junior high. He'd left her reluctantly, wishing he could be there to watch the parade, but he had a meeting in Los Angeles, an important meeting that couldn't be missed. And so he kissed the top of her head and watched her dance over to the other little girls clustered around the whiteboard and walked out, heading for the parking lot. Cormac had made it to his meeting and was still in it when the first text hit his phone. School on emergency lockdown. And then the next. Live shooter on campus. Cormac left the meeting immediately, dashing to his car, but it was slow getting out of Los Angeles, traffic thick, snarling the 405 south until he sat wedged between trucks and cars south of Huntington Beach, unable to move in any direction. His worst fear had come true. Daisy needed him, and he couldn't get to her. He couldn't help her. There was nothing he could do. Nothing until it was all over, and while the situation lasted 2 hours, 43 minutes, and a handful of seconds, Cormac Sheenan suffered, struggling with the reality that his four-year-old was in danger while he sat trapped in his car on one of the biggest freeways in Southern California. Cormac Sheenan hated being helpless. He didn't believe in helpless. Helpless was for the weak and those who couldn't make decisions, and he was neither. But during the San Clemente Elementary School lockdown, there was nothing he could do but wait for the next text to arrive. After the first messages from the school and sheriff's department, the rest of the text came from the frantic parents, parents like him who couldn't get to the school, and then the parents who were there but stuck behind yellow police tape and desperate for information. The text exchanges were nauseating, horrifying. Live shooter. School on lockdown. First responders on scene but unable to enter school until the police and sheriff had secured the premises. One or more hit. A dozen ambulances on scene. Cormac didn't know where the shots had been fired on the school grounds. He didn't know if children had been hit. He didn't know if Daisy's pre-K class was involved. He didn't know anything, and the lack of information and the inability to reach his daughter pushed him to the edge. He'd picked this school because it was small and set up on a hill overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The view from the school was stunning, and he'd liked the tranquility of the setting and the warmth and efficiency of the staff. Now he questioned everything. His decision to enroll Daisy in a pre-K class, his business interests scattered all over the country, his ability to be a single parent. And sitting there, so helpless, Cormac felt something in him crack. He wasn't a spiritual man. He didn't talk to God. But inching along on the freeway, desperate to reach his daughter who had to be absolutely terrified, Cormac found himself praying. Keep her safe. Keep her safe. She's had enough grief and loss in her 4 years. Keep her safe and I'll change. I'll change. I'll be a better man. I promise. By the time he finally reached Daisy's school, a heavily armed SWAT team was escorting children out, releasing them one by one to their parents.